So Samantha, you worked in the head office as a marketing executive for a retail franchise. I just want to clarify, did your boss legitimately go insane over the disappearance of a broken 50 cents ruler?
So yes, she was adamant that this ruler that was pretty much broken, had its numbers completely gone, had been in the store for the last 2 months. She made me follow up with the retail assistants that were there. I caught up. They said it was useless. So they had thrown it because there was no point in using this broken ruler at that anymore. So after that, she made me interview every worker in the store about when this ruler had gone missing, who had thrown it. And she basically made me file a loss report for this ruler that was worth 50 cents with and Woolworths being 2 minute walking distance away. We could have just bought it. I would have donated this ruler to our store girls. So I looked at CCTV camera. Obviously, you can't see a clear ruler in a CCTV camera, but I just did it anyway. She was very angry, so she implemented a rule afterwards that anything that is broken, stationary, useless, or work, it must be recorded and reported to her first.
Okay, so these extreme measures do make me wonder, are you sure there wasn't something special about this ruler? Because it honestly sounds like it's diamond encrusted, dipped in gold, and then touched by Jesus himself.
It was a plastic 30 cent ruler you could find in Woolworths. Nothing special about a ruler. And what's even more not special is that you couldn't use it because the numbers were rubbed off. And if it's broken, you can't even draw a straight line.
So was this ruler incident an isolated situation? Or was it part of a regular occurrence of bizarre behavior?
It was pretty much like a sitcom working at this company that I was at. So I was working in marketing. So I created all those posters and like graphic design pamphlets that you would see in a retail store. So after printing them out, I would go down to the stores and set it up on Thursday night so that it'd be ready for Friday. And I come in on Monday with my boss being very disappointed in me and saying that, and that she was so disappointed in what had happened and I shouldn't have let such a thing happen. And she said that a poster had fallen to the ground. And I thought, well, it's inside a shop. If something's fallen down, doesn't someone just pick it up again? And there's four other people that work there. It's not really my responsibility when I'm not even inside the store. I live an hour away. How can I put up a poster when I'm not even visibly there? And she said that, oh, the retail assistant said they believed in me. I thought, believed in me what? That a poster had fallen down and they couldn't pick it up.
So you're now responsible for the durability of sticky tape. Did you follow the exact techniques and tools that she instructed to use when putting up the poster?
I did. So after putting them up, I take a photo for approval and it was all signed off. It was fine. It was sticking fine on Thursday and Friday. I think it fell down on Sunday. So it was sticking up for 2 days.
So I'm a little bit confused. If a poster falls down, why do they have to call the head boss? Why can't they just stick the poster up again?
I know, my point exactly. I worked in retail, but just pick it back up. So another thing that happened, this didn't really happen to me, but it happened to a co-worker of mine. And one thing with bad workplaces is that things don't happen to you only, they happen to your co-workers and you feel really bad for them. So one of my co-workers had finished work. It was a Thursday night, so he was out getting his hair cut. He was in the middle of getting a haircut when my boss had called him to make him go from the city, he was at World Square, to go all the way to Westfield Macquarie to pick up a backpack of a staff person. Let's also mention that staff person had a key to go into our Macquarie store as well. But no, he had to stop in the middle of his haircut and take a train 20 minutes all the way to Macquarie to pick up her bag and come back and give it to her.
The bizarre twist to this, you guys, is that the colleague that Samantha is talking about is actually the company's financial analyst who works in the head office. So why is it that the retail associate couldn't go and pick up the bag herself when she had a key? Why make the financial analyst who lives in the opposite direction do it?
Yes, I don't know why. That's why it's weird.
I'm just going to put it out there. I think he sounds more like their personal assistant than the company's financial analyst.
Financial analyst, more so. I feel so sorry, like a handyman. He was actually off one day, you know, he took leave on one day, and we had retail assistants calling us, and I picked up the phone and she had said, "Oh, I need Peter." I'm like, "Why do you need Peter?" She's like, "Oh, the printer, no one knows how to use the printer. Like, I don't know how to put paper in it." I'm like, "That's not Peter's job. Like, can't you? All you need to do is open a flat and put paper in. How hard could it be?" Like, I just feel so bad for someone so overqualified to be doing such jobs. He's unscrewing light bulbs. He's doing things that, you know, it's like, "Oh, the heating is a bit too hot." He will walk 10 minutes from our head office to our storefront to turn the AC down, put up the heating. Like, that is not his job. What's the store manager doing?
I think he was probably wondering to himself, "So I went to uni, I did a business degree, and now why am I turning people's air conditioning up and down for a living?"
He couldn't do his work because he had to get some toilet paper.
So these incidents with your coworker occurred over a period of time. But was there any initial red flags that you saw that made you go, "Okay, something isn't right"?
So I think it's quite strange when you have to give 3 days notice for your sick leave. So how are you supposed to know you're going to become sick 3 days beforehand? That's obviously a lie, but this was in the contract. And so one of the days, I in the morning had really bad like stomach pains and had, you know, it's very embarrassing, but I had diarrhea in the morning. And so I just texted her that I felt really unwell today. I had diarrhea. I can't come in. Next thing you know, I come in. Next thing you know, in an hour's time, I saw my message, my private message with my boss about my diarrhea troubles in the group chat with my coworkers. She had screenshotted and put my message that said I had diarrhea in the group chat for everyone to see and know that I was unwell and why that was. That was so embarrassing and awkward.
That's definitely irrational because sometimes you just get sick overnight. You won't know 3 days in advance if you're going to have a stomach bug or if you're going to get food poisoning. This company policy does highlight how extremely intense the micromanagement is. Did you notice any day-to-day reoccurring incidences that highlight their obsession with power and status?
I had always called my boss Amanda this whole time because when I was doing the interview for this job, she had introduced herself as Amanda. On the first day, I had said, "Hi, Amanda," always addressing her as Amanda. She then said on like near the end of the first day that I should call her Isanim. And I thought I had no idea what this word meant. And apparently it meant director in Korean, which made no sense. We were operating in an Australian company in Australia, yet she had made me someone who did not even study Korean or even know the Korean language to call her Isanim the whole time. So I would write, "Hi, Isanim," in English. I would write Isanim in English and report to her, call her Isanim the whole time I was there. And it made no sense because I was saying one Korean word in a bunch of English.
So she really wanted to drill it into you and play up that power dynamic, that you were just the insignificant employee and she was almighty and far superior than you could ever be. But besides these obnoxious requests, was there a specific formal work structure or regime that staff had to follow that made you feel just a little uncomfortable?
I think it starts to become strange when, you know, you and your entire team has finished your job. You've finished everything that you need to do for the day. You've even done things that you could have done tomorrow. You've kind of fit it into today's schedule and you're really efficient. However, there has been an unspoken rule that you're not allowed to leave the office until the director does. You know, my work hours were contracted at 9 to 5:30. I came in every day at 8:30. In the morning at work, but my boss doesn't leave until at least 6 or 6:30. So pretty much I'm not able to leave during that time.
So there wasn't really a mandate, but you were all coerced by peer pressure and disapproving stares to basically stay back past work hours every day.
That is pretty much it. She did not ask you to stay back, but she just talked to you and you were staying back before you knew it. So by that time, I think all my co-workers just did things very slowly just so we could pass time.
So because you have survived a comedic hellhole of a workplace, what advice would you give to people who are struggling in their workplace?
Always work really hard to be diligent, to be productive, to get along with everyone, but also not to be exploited at the same time. So if you're feeling that it's wrong, it probably is wrong.
Stand up for yourself, guys.